Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So Bill Gross is on Bloomberg telling everyone to short 10-year treasuries.
To short 10-year treasuries?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if we need to get into that sort of mode at this point, it has to be said. I mean, all focus, of course, will be on the Fed today, so it's set to be an interest day in government bond markets. We think the Fed will considerably improve its outlook for the US economy. We've seen real progress on vaccinations in the United States, but also the case count, hospitalizations, death rates have been falling quite dramatically. The Biden administration saying the US population could be vaccinated by the end of May, allowing the economy to reopen and labor markets to recover. Of course, there are some risks around that, particularly when it comes to likes of variants. Since the last forecasts were submitted in December, there have been two large federal aid packages that have been enacted, $2.8 trillion worth, certainly larger than many committee members would have expected. So look for the growth forecast to rise maybe as high as 6.6% for this year. Look for minor improvements in labour market forecasts and a modest rise in inflation expectations, but still below mandated levels. So whether we'll see that huge spike in yields that Mr. Gross is perhaps suggesting is remains to be seen, but I think it'll be limited upside from here.
It doesn't look much like the Bond King from here. He looks like he's just got out of bed. Hasn't even brushed his hair.
That's part of the lure, isn't it? The mystique of
he's
Mr.
wearing
Gross.
His pyjamas. That's all okay. I know. Of course, he's no longer at PIMCO now, but he's still sort of said he made $10 million on shorting GameStop.
Well, some people have been burnt in that trade, it has to be said as well.
Hasn't he got enough money already?
He's probably doing all right for himself.
Probably.
You're a little bit fixated by this person, aren't you?
Bill, well, I find him quite a fascinating character.
Bit of a man crush.
Because he looks quite odd as well, doesn't he? You know, he's kind of one of these mad professor types.
Yeah, that's all right. There's a place for that in the world of finance. We can't all be good looking.
No, you don't want to talk about vaccines, do you?
Well, we can talk a little bit about
it. Have you had yours yet?
I won't talk about that.
I'll give it to you if you want.
I've already had it.
I know,
it,
just
to be
went
honest.
To stick it as well.
Very feisty this morning. I've had it, Ashby. I had the AstraZeneca one, and
did
I'd
you?
Say that I had a sort of a 12-hour flu as a result of it, but nothing more dramatic than that yet. But it's interesting to see how markets are reacting. European stock markets actually shook off concerns over the speed of the vaccination program yesterday. Equities closed at their highest level in a year. Stock 600 up 0.9%. Real estate and healthcare very much leading the gains. The energy sector dropped as oil prices retreated for a third straight day. So a positive day despite Germany, France, Italy joining nations that have halted using AstraZeneca's vaccine. The EU warned member states yesterday must use every dose available in order to avoid further lockdowns. And in the last 12 hours, so there have been signs, particularly the likes of France and Italy may make a U-turn on advice from the regulator that the benefits continue to outweigh the risk. Final assessment, I think, comes from the EMA tomorrow on that one. Question is, has the damage already been done? Will this result in higher rates of hesitancy than you'd expect and infringe upon the vaccination program? You're considerably behind, there's no doubt about that. If you look at the percentage of population inoculated, I think we're at 12% in Europe compared to 40% in the UK.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Europe is lagging, but it does sort of raise questions about sovereignty, doesn't it? Because, you know, if it was a European super state, then everyone would be railroaded into having the vaccines. But because the national health agencies are supreme, they can decide whether they're going to use a particular vaccine or not.
They can indeed, but that will have ramifications for, of course, the process, the speed in which you can achieve herd immunity and the knock-on effects that not being able to unlock the economies will have in terms of growth prospects and employment prospects. So there's a price to pay for that, it certainly has to be said.
Unless something goes wrong with one of them, in which case, because they were rushed through on emergency legislation in the UK, the British government will be left carrying the can for any compensation payments, whereas in Europe, because it was regulated by the European Medicines Agency, it's the pharmaceutical giants will have to pay out.
again, I'll remind you, my wife works for the European Medicines Agency, so without wishing to get into too much of a conflict of interest in relation to this one, let's stick to the facts that we know rather than debating that.
Okay, well, those are the facts as we know them, but I will move on. But the Federal Reserve, big day today, a lot of speculation that so they could tweak zero interest rates, but probably not this time around.
Yeah, I don't think so, to be honest. We've mentioned sort of some of the backdrop already. In terms of rates, I think their forecast is for no hikes through the forecast horizon. That takes you out to 2023. So I think we'll see them reducing fears of an early liftoff. Communication, I think, will be important, but I think we'll see limited reaction to rising yields. Keeping its powder dry, it does have further ammunition to use. They could lengthen the duration of its monthly treasury purchases, for example. Implement another operation twist, which is where they buy long-dated bonds and sell equal amounts of bonds with shorter duration, or if required, introduce yield control measures. So I think the main message from the Federal Reserve today will be positive economic guidance, no early liftoff in policy, not overly concerned by the rise they've seen in yields.
You had any chips recently?
It's been a while, to be honest with you. There's not many around. Samsung has warned it's grappling with the fallout from a serious imbalance in semiconductors globally, becoming the largest tech giant to voice concerns about chip shortages spreading beyond the car industry. Samsung, which is one of the largest makers of chips, actually, and consumer electronics, of course, expects the crunch to pose a problem for its business into the next quarter, may delay the launch of its new Galaxy Note phone. Range of companies from car makers, game console producers and mobile phone device manufacturers have been struggling. The shortage has occurred due to production and supply disruption caused by COVID restrictions and trade sanctions. There's been increased demand. Everyone stuck at home means they've been buying laptops, tablets and games consoles. And of course, it takes time to ramp up production levels. You can't simply start making a lot of chips overnight, particularly in like the Asian manufacturers. So it's going to take a couple of quarters, one would suspect, for this problem to iron out.
Isn't the chippy in Cobham doing takeaways? I mean, or is there not a chippy in Cobham? Is it more like the poached salmon emporium or something, isn't it?
Is there a chippy in Cobham? I don't know if there is. Yeah, there is. Well, there is one, actually. There is one. There's a Domino's, there's a chippy, and there's a kebab shop, actually. All
really?
Thinking about it,
yeah. I'm sure that caused a hoo-ha locally, didn't it?
There's some new restaurants coming to Cobham, actually. Copper is opening. There's an upmarket. Is there an upmarket TGI brand that's starting? I don't know.
I don't know.
A few things opening. Yes.
I've only driven past Cobham on the way down to the Channel Tunnel. But, yes. And Greg's the Bakers. Is there one of those in Cobham? Probably not.
We call it Gregory's. It's a bit more upmarket. Greg's the Baker fast food restaurant reporting its first loss since listing on the stock exchange in 1984 as COVID restrictions hampered footfall. Best known for its sausage rolls, or perhaps more recently its vegan rolls. Have you tried those?
I have, and the vegan steak bake. Very nice, both
nice?
Of them. I'm sure all the rest of it, the pastry and everything, isn't very good for you, but at least, you know, you're doing yourself some good by not eating meat.
Maybe so. Made a full-year loss of £13.7 million in 2020 versus a record profit of £108 million in 2019. Total sales fell 31%. Turns the outlook actually better than expected start to the year they were talking about. They said they've ramped up deliveries through the likes of Just Eat. Wholesale's been strong. Click and collect's been improving. And they plan to open 100 net new stores during the course of this year, adding to its 2,078 that it already operates. I suppose the question when you look at Greg's amongst the others is people going back to work, how many people will go back to the office, and how important is that for them? And competition as well. Lots of signs that the likes of people like Pret a Manger, for example, are moving away from cities and will focus on urban areas as a result of more people working from home, and that would create greater competition for Greggs, who tend to be situated in those areas.
Well, maybe there's a space on the Cobham High Street for Greggs after all.
We'll see.
I don't like their soup, you know, the tomato soup, but the styrofoam cup. Yeah, not very nice.
I do like Heinz tomato soup.
Yes, I do, yes.
That is still a classic, isn't it?
But it ain't Greggs.
Do you put Tabasco in it?
No, certainly not.
Me neither. My friend does.
See, I like hot food, but I don't see the point of adulterating perfectly good flavours like Heinz tomato soup with Tabasco. It takes the flavour away, doesn't it?
I think so. Stick with a classic.
It's like somebody at home. I made a chili last night and they insisted on adding extra hot sauce to it, even though I put a teaspoon of chili powder in it.
Well, I like the hot, jalapenos.
It's enough to blow my head off anyway.
Chicken fal. that's the way to go. Lovely.
Falafels?
Falafel. We do have some of that actually at lunchtime. Mrs. Potts makes a salad with that.
Very nice.
Some bread, some hummus. Very nice.
Right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.39 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.19. You're going to get 1 euro 16.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
There you go, from Bill Gross to falafels.
Have a good day,
sir. Just about covered it all again. Talk to you tomorrow. Hang Potts from Barclays.